Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're watching a Highwire Media podcast.
Hello, true crime fans, and welcome back to Murder Monday. This week, we dive into the Blade Runner murder. Before we do that, give me your thoughts on this case in the comments section below. And of course, let me know any other cases you want us to cover. We might be able to do that in future episodes. So with that, let's dive into today's episode. Let's face it, fame does some pretty wild things to people. When you come from obscurity and then you find yourself at the center of attention, I imagine that could get to your head. I mean, how couldn't it? Just think. People commenting about you all over social media. The news running stories and shaping the public's opinion about you. Brand deals dictating how you should look, speak, even act. I mean, that's some pressure, especially when you're supposed to be playing the hero. And I imagine all these factors might change the way you see the world too. Might change how you treat people, how you prioritize your values and your morals. But today's case will have you questioning, can fame really push someone to commit murder? This was the question asked when a 26-year-old Olympic athlete named Oscar Pistorius accidentally killed his 29-year-old girlfriend, Reva Steenkamp. Now, of course, I say accidentally. Jokingly, because depending on how you look at it, it wasn't an accident. Some who knew him said it was the pressure, the paranoia of fame that led to one horrific, life-ending choice. But after you hear today's story, I'm curious if you will feel the same. So today's story takes us on a journey around the globe to Johannesburg in South Africa. And that's where, on November 22nd, 1986, a little boy named Oscar Pistorius came into the world. But shortly after Oscar was born, his future became a little less clear. See, Oscar lived with a congenital defect, one that caused him to be born without his fibula bones in his body. So when Oscar was around 11 months old, he underwent a heartbreaking surgery, one that required the lower half of both of his legs to be amputated. Now, shortly after his first birthday, though, Oscar received his first pair of prosthetics. And from that day forward, Oscar refused to let anything hold him back. And in fact, his mother, Sheila, always made sure to treat Oscar exactly the same as she did her other two children. In the Pistorius home, Oscar was never treated as though he had a disability. And this was something that Oscar seemed grateful for as he continued to live by a motto his mother set forth for him early. And it went like this. The real loser is not the one who crosses the finish line last. The real loser is the one who sits on the side and doesn't even try to compete. So it was these words of encouragement that actually inspired Oscar to take up sports at school. And by age 13, he was proficient in water polo, tennis, and wrestling. Excuse me. Now Oscar's strength increased just as rapidly as his competitive nature. But life continued to test Oscar, throwing him several devastating curveballs over the years. So the first began with the divorce of his parents. Oscar, his siblings, and his mother all moved to a smaller house and ended up spending a lot less time with their father. But around the age of 15, things took an even worse turn. Oscar's mother, Sheila, who he loved more than anything in the world, passed away pretty unexpectedly. And as a way to cope with the loss, Oscar actually dedicated even more time to sports. He kind of used it as a distraction. But a year after Sheila's death, Oscar was dealt another blow. He shattered his knee while playing rugby. So it took Oscar a long time to recover from that injury. But once he was well enough, his doctor recommended he try running to help his knee joint recover. And that bit of advice changed the trajectory of Oscar's life. So 3 weeks into running track, Oscar ran his very first 100-meter race, and he beat the record for fastest double amputee out there. And around the same time, Oscar was fitted with new prosthetics. They were carbon fiber blades called Cheetah, which certainly helped his athletic performance. The 17-year-old Oscar entered the Paralympics that same year, and after traveling to Athens, Greece in September 2004, he actually won gold in the 200-meter race, which is insane considering he just barely started running. So that's when he earned a nickname for himself, the Blade Runner. Oscar continued to perfect his track skills while studying business management and sports science at the University of Pretoria in South Africa. But Oscar's biggest challenge was actually still ahead. Because Sheila's words were constantly ringing in his head. He was never treated like he lived with a disability growing up, and he didn't want to be treated as such on the track. Which is why Oscar began running against non-disabled athletes around 2007. And this is actually going to flip you upside down, because that actually brought up a pretty interesting question for the world governing body for athletics, which better known as the International Association of Athletics Federations. They began to wonder, did Oscar's prosthetics actually give him an advantage? I've actually seen this debate during the Olympics on social media and other like Twitter and Facebook. And I don't know the science behind it, so I don't know the answer. So I can't give you the answer. But I have seen this discussion quite a bit. I'm sure there's an answer, but it's still interesting. Well, since he was placing, he was even winning some of these races. They ultimately decided there might be an advantage, like we won't know, but everyone should be on an even playing field. Which is why Oscar was banned from competing in non-disabled competitions for a while. This was a decision he fought in the Court of Arbitration for Sport, and he ultimately won in 2007, which is how in 2012, Oscar earned himself a place in the London Olympics. He was the first double-leg amputee to ever participate, representing South Africa. Oscar finished second out of five in the men's 400 meter, and he advanced to the semifinals. And while he finished last in the semifinals, he still solidified his place in Olympic history. And suddenly, Oscar was kind of everywhere. Brands were competing to make Oscar's face a part of their campaign. Reporters were falling over at themselves to get interviews, while he graced the covers of magazines. Oscar was being invited to lavish parties, movie premieres. He was rubbing elbows with celebrities all over the world. And he began dating beautiful models, like the 29-year-old Riva Steenkamp. So after the Summer Olympics in 2012, Oscar was introduced to Riva in November of that year. And they were both at a motoring event when a mutual friend made the introduction. That night, Oscar asked Riva, who was also a reality TV star at the time, if she'd like to be his date to an award ceremony. Riva immediately said yes, and like Oscar, Riva was born and raised in South Africa. She started modeling around age 15, but also knew the importance of getting a good education. Because Riva wasn't just a pretty face, she was incredibly bright, impassioned, and empathetic. She had a law degree from Nelson Mandela University in Port Elizabeth, South Africa, and was planning to actually take the bar exam. Riva also used her platform as an advocate against domestic violence. It was a cause she worked hard at and truly dedicated herself to. Ever since she had experienced domestic violence herself at the hands of a former boyfriend. So this was something that felt especially pressing in the country of South Africa, where actually in 2012, they had the highest rate of domestic violence in the world. So Riva and Oscar likely bonded over another detail from their past. It was the fact that they both had traumatic injuries in their early years. Riva used to ride racehorses, but she was thrown from a horse that led to two crushed vertebrae. And doctors weren't sure if Riva would ever walk again. But after 6 weeks, she made a full recovery. And it was this injury that put her life into perspective. She focused heavily on modeling and TV rather than being a lawyer. She believed that life was too short not to pursue her dreams. And she became incredibly successful. She was actually the face of Avon, KFC, Toyota, I mean, you name it. After gracing the covers of magazines herself, Riva went on to be a contestant on the BBC show Baking Made Easy and the South African show Tropica Island of Treasure. But Riva's life would change entirely after agreeing to accompany Oscar to the South African Sports Awards that November 2012. The 29-year-old model and the 26-year-old Oscar publicly announced their romance shortly after they were seen together. And over the next 2 months, Reba wasn't shy about sharing their relationship on social media. So come January 2013, the couple seemed to be getting pretty serious. They were spotted together at a celebrity friend's party. One person even claimed they looked really happy together. Maybe that they were falling in love, even. And at the end of January, they went to dinner with a married couple they were friends with. It was actually the same ones that had introduced them, and they said everything seemed great between the two of them. They did mention, though, that he was a bit unhappy in his current house. He said he felt a bit unsafe, even though it was gated. It was a high-security community, and he was actively looking for something in a different part of town. Maybe even something he and Reva could one day share together. But even if Oscar didn't feel safe in his current house, Reva seemed pretty secure in the relationship. A few days before Valentine's Day, she tweeted, quote, "I woke up in a happy, safe home this morning. Not everyone did. Speak out against the rape of individuals." Again, she's an advocate, okay? So, on the afternoon of February 13th, Reva spent the day practicing a speech that she was going to be giving to students at a local high school about sexual assault awareness. And that evening, she planned to spend the night at Oscar's house, perhaps preparing to celebrate Valentine's Day the following morning together. Now, at around 10 p.m., Oscar said Reva did a bit of yoga and climbed into bed with him, and the two of them fell asleep shortly after. So now it is around 3:20 a.m. in the early morning hours of February 14th. Oscar and Reva are apparently asleep together. Oscar wakes up and says he went out to the balcony to get a fan. He said he came back in, closed the sliding door, and that's when he heard a noise in the bathroom. It sounded like a window was opening. Oscar said that's when he realized there were no burglar bars over the windows in there, and contractors had been working on the home and left a ladder up outside of that window. So he took all this into consideration. His heart started racing because he believed someone was like currently actively breaking into his home. At this point, he wasn't wearing his prosthetic legs since he had been sleeping, but he also didn't think to put them on. So instead, he rushed for the pistol that he kept under his bed and made his way towards the bathroom. So according to Oscar, he says he goes to the bathroom. It's pitch black. He can't see a thing. But he started screaming for the intruder who was shut in the toilet cubicle of the bathroom to get out of the house. So he says there's an intruder who was hiding in the toilet area, and he was screaming at him to leave. He says that's when he yelled for Reva to call the police. And then, using his gun, he fired a shot through the bathroom cubicle door, then another, and another. So that's four total shots that he fired through the door. And when, according to him, he again called for Reva to phone the police, he realized that she wasn't responding. So he rushed back to the bed, and that's when he realizes Reva isn't in the bed. Reva is in the bathroom. But this is according to him. So Reva was the one that he'd shot at through the bathroom door. So Oscar said at this point, quote, "a wave of terror washed over him as he grabbed a cricket bat and started banging down the door, only to find Reva unconscious on the other side. He had hit her three out of the four times, one through the arm, the hip, and one through the head." There's already so many red flags that are being raised right now that even through his story just doesn't even make sense. You know, sometimes when you listen to these stories and you're like, how unlucky could you be? So that's when Oscar called the manager of his community, asking him to call the police. And then Oscar goes inside the bathroom and carries Reva down the stairs. And when police arrived minutes later, that's when they found a barely breathing Reva covered in bloody towels. Alongside her was an inconsolable Oscar who tied off the wound on her arm with a tourniquet in an effort to stop the bleeding. Unfortunately, the damage was already done. Reva was only alive for a few more minutes, and then she passed away before the paramedics could even make it to the house. So shortly after this, Oscar was obviously taken down to the police station. And the question for investigators was this. Once they hear a story, was this actually an accident? Or do we need to look at this as an actual homicide? Now, Oscar was adamant that this was an accident. He genuinely thought someone had broken into his home, and he was trying to protect Reva and himself from an intruder. But there was sufficient evidence at the scene to suggest Oscar might have known exactly who he was shooting at. So for starters, Reva had been staying with Oscar for the last few nights. Police felt he should have been used to her moving around in the middle of the night, getting up to use the bathroom. Like, if you're sleeping with someone and you hear a noise, you would initially think, oh, that's the person that's in my house. Didn't make sense that he would just assume someone was breaking into the bathroom. Plus, you have to admit, if he did think a third person was in the house, wouldn't he just have checked Reva's side of the bed before he goes firing gunshots through the toilet cubicle? But there were a few things found on Reva, too, that made police wonder if more was going on. Like the fact that it was 3 a.m. when Reva was shot and killed. But Reva was fully dressed. Like, had full clothes on, not pajamas. So they were like, was she leaving the house? Like, why isn't she wearing pajamas? She also had her cell phone with her in the bathroom cubicle. And like, hey, I'll admit, I'm glued to my phone just as much as
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply, in-app only.
Next guy. But if I'm getting up in the middle of the night, unless I need a light, I'm not usually going to bring my phone in. So police are thinking, did Reva and Oscar maybe get into a fight? Did she get some sort of text from an ex-boyfriend? Maybe it set him off. Maybe she ran into the bathroom to hide. He came after her in a fit of rage. Well, apparently there were text messages sent from Reva to Oscar in the weeks before all this happened. This suggested the couple was maybe not as stable as they were putting off. So in one long text, Reva called Oscar nasty and said, quote, I'm scared of you sometimes and how you just snap at me. Apparently, he even lost his temper recently while the two were out at an event. The fight was pretty public as Oscar supposedly criticized her in front of a group of people. Now you have to wonder, since so many people said it seemed to be going well between the couple, was Reva maybe hiding the ugly side of this relationship from her friends and family? Which, I mean, that's normal and happens a lot, right? And I think we have to consider the fact, though, that Reva was a very public advocate against domestic violence. So, I mean, how would it come out if she was, like, advocating for it, against it, but then, you know, what's going on now? There were plenty of people, however, who knew that Oscar was prone to fits of jealousy. And they come forward and tell police this. In just 36 hours before her death, it was confirmed that Reva had met up with an ex-boyfriend for a coffee date. So that text that sent him off theory could be kind of valid. But there was more. Apparently, less than an hour before the shots were fired, neighbors actually heard fighting going on from Oscar's house. And they heard a woman scream just before the murders. One neighbor would later go on to say, quote, her shouts, her screams were petrifying. I just knew something terrible was happening in that house. And again, this goes back to if she was screaming, he would have known it was her. Now, Oscar would later say that the screams in the neighborhood were actually his, that when he saw he had shot Reva and not an intruder, he was the one who let out the high-pitched, like, blood-curdling screams. But now I want to pivot a little bit. Actually, because as more people are called in to speak with police about Oscar and Reva, the more they realize fame had kind of taken a toll on Oscar in a way that seemed important to the case. This is what they're learning from people who know Oscar really well. So we know that Oscar had a pretty good taste of fame by the time the murder was committed. I mean, it's safe to say like he was having his 10 minutes of fame at this point in his life, and with that came a good amount of cash. By 2013, he reportedly was earning about $2 million a year from sponsorships alone. He was sponsored by Nike, Oakley, and he had several car and perfume brand deals. But with that came a change in his friend group as well, the people that he was around. According to one source, Oscar kind of stopped hanging out with his more wholesome old group of friends, and began spending time with, let's just say, the more popular, edgier crowd, you know, the kind of the upper class, edgier people. People who were known to resort to violence and criminal means because they felt that they were above the law. But it was sort of a chicken or an egg situation because Oscar himself hadn't been the same after the Olympics. It seemed that the pressure of fame had gotten to him, and ever since then, he had just been harsher and ruder to everyone. His diet consisted of a lot of energy drinks. He was taking a lot of caffeine pills, which meant Oscar was also having a hard time sleeping at night. And according to one reporter who did an expose on Oscar, this led him to go to the shooting range multiple times in the middle of the night to blow off steam, like this was his habit when he couldn't sleep. This is where he would go. He liked guns, he was collecting guns, and he practiced with any gun from his collection. He had 3 shotguns, a rifle, and 2 pistols. So let's just say Oscar knew his way around a gun, especially in the middle of the night. He was proficient when it came to using weapons like this, but apparently this reckless side of Oscar wasn't necessarily a brand new thing. It just kind of escalated, because I guess back in 2009, before he ever even competed at the Olympics, Oscar was driving a speedboat with some other passengers in it, and that day he crashed the boat into a pier and actually landed himself in a coma for 3 days. And when he emerged, he had a broken jaw, several broken ribs, a damaged eye socket, and they actually found alcohol on board. But luckily, nobody was killed. And then there was another incident with a gun just a few weeks before Riva was killed. One witness claimed to see Oscar dining out with some of those edgier friends when one of them passed a gun under the table to Oscar. The gun was cocked and loaded, and it literally went off right there in the restaurant, like the gun actually fired. Like, he's having dinner with his friends, and the gun goes off. No one was injured, but another one of Oscar's friends had actually only missed the bullet by inches because it was a misfire. But it wasn't just this careless attitude that police were worried about when they were learning about Oscar. It was also Oscar's history when it came to women. So back in 2009, there was one incident at a house party that Oscar was throwing when a woman named Cassidy Taylor Memory had gotten into a fight with Oscar. He slammed the door on her so hard that it actually left her with serious injuries. And Cassidy ended up pressing charges. But Oscar, even though he hadn't been to the Olympics yet, was kind of already becoming a famous athlete in South Africa. So literally, he signed a few autographs at the police station, and then the case was dropped. And then, in the stupidest way possible, Oscar sued Cassidy for causing him to lose some of his sponsorships when his arrest came out in the news. So Oscar's biographer later recalled several instances from Oscar's love life where he would fight viciously with a girlfriend, usually because he was jealous of something small, and then he would love bomb them after to get them back. So one girlfriend named Samantha Taylor had been dating Oscar right before he met Riva. In fact, she claims he actually left her for Riva. But she confirmed that Oscar had a violent side. He was obsessed with his firearms. She says there was one instance where they were pulled over by police and eventually let go. But Oscar was so mad after that, that he actually pulled a gun from the glove compartment and fired a shot out of the car's sunroof. So this is getting to a point where I don't know how much more guilty he could look. Like, he obviously has anger issues. Which is actually interesting because Oscar not only would deny that he killed Riva and on purpose, he denies he's even angry. He's like, no, I don't have a violent temper. Like, I'm not angry. I just slammed a door on an ex-girlfriend, crashed a boat into a wall. So in March of 2014, Oscar would have to tell that he didn't have a violent temper to a judge. Because in South Africa, the jury system had actually been abolished in the 60s because legislators were so worried about the racial prejudices of citizens in their country. So ultimately, it's up to the judge to determine Oscar's fate. So throughout this trial, I mean, because he's going to go to trial either way, because he accidentally killed her, or he on purpose killed her. So throughout the trial, Oscar's team stood firm in the stance that Oscar had completely acted out of self-defense that night, and that fame had created a specific sort of paranoia in Oscar. Just led him to a spur-of-the-moment, life-altering, deciding to shoot through the door crime. Now it's no secret that South Africa has its fair share of violent crimes, some of the highest rates in the world, in fact. And Oscar was definitely an outlier, probably even a target, in a country where more than half the population earns an average of $65 a month. So there's also the fact that police corruption is pretty rampant in the country, so relying on the police to help in a time of need might just not happen. And Oscar made sure to make these details part of his testimony. He claimed that he had felt exceptionally paranoid since he had gotten famous and started making money. He's like, and I couldn't rely on the police to help me. He said he moved to a high-security gated community, one that, mind you, was surrounded by electric fences and had managed to only have two burglaries in the last 5 months. Still, Oscar claimed that he hadn't felt safe since 2005, when he was living in a home that was previously broken into, which is why he was even sleeping with a pistol underneath his bed. So his team argued, which, I mean, it's normal. So his team argued that Oscar had a long history of anxiety that had definitely been increasing over time, especially with his most recent attempt in the Olympics. And on the night of Riva's murder, anxiety was the real thing to blame. Now, this self-defense angle became the cornerstone of Oscar's testimony. So much so that the judge felt the only way to validate this and gain a better understanding of the truth was actually to postpone the trial for a month so that Oscar could undergo a psychiatric evaluation. And here's what they found. After a report that was drafted by four different mental health experts, which I applaud them for using four different people, they concluded that Oscar had been living with depression and PTSD, that he needed continued psychiatric care, or they worried for his eventual well-being. They also said that Oscar did not show signs of being abnormally aggressive or having an explosively violent personality, so it's more PTSD than anything. They said he did not show signs of clinical narcissism, which are often associated with men who have committed domestic murder. But, quote, he was aware of right and wrong at the time of the shooting. So basically they said, yeah, Oscar knew that shooting his girlfriend was wrong, even in a fit of rage, but he didn't know that his girlfriend was behind there. He just had PTSD and high anxiety and depression. So while there was one witness who supported the defense, said Oscar had told him that one time prior to the murder, he heard his washing machine making noises and believed it was an intruder. So the defense has this person come in and say, yeah, he told me something similar. He was, you know, on edge. The prosecution had one very important piece of the puzzle to share with the judge. They had found evidence that Oscar may have been lying after all, because they brought in the door from Oscar's bathroom as evidence to show the judge. Even though Oscar insisted he didn't have time to put on his prosthetics when he heard the intruder, remember, that was his story the entire time. They show that the shots were fired at an angle that seemed to be the height of a normal man. They were higher up on the door, and if Oscar had approached the bathroom on his residual limbs, as he claimed, those shots would have been shot lower and at an upward angle. He also said that Riva had to have been crouching behind the door when she was shot and killed, not using the toilet like Oscar said she was probably in there doing. So the way she was hit, she was actually in a crouched position, not going to the bathroom. So, hiding. They also said there was a delay between the shots. Again, enough time for Riva to cry out, confirm she was the one in the bathroom, before suffering the fatal blow to the head. So by the end of the trial, 37 witnesses had been called to the stand. And finally, the judge gave her verdict. Oscar was found not guilty of murder, guilty of manslaughter, guilty of culpable homicide. He was sentenced to 5 years in prison. So the prosecution tried to appeal the sentence, which they felt was too light and, quote, inappropriate. But as they were filing appeals, Oscar actually became eligible for parole. He was released after less than a year and approved to finish his punishment out under house arrest. So despite this, the appeal still moved forward. And in 2016, his case was actually sent to South Africa's High Court. There, his original verdict was overturned and instead changed to murder. Oscar was resentenced to 6 more years in prison, and in 2017, that sentence was actually increased to 13 years, to get closer to the recommended minimum in South Africa for murder, which is 15. But in March of 2023, Oscar became eligible for parole once more, and after serving a total of 8.5 years, he was released on January 5th, 2024. Now, since his release, Oscar has been living a quiet life under house arrest at his uncle's lavish home in a suburb of Pretoria, South Africa, mainly because he sold the home where Riva was killed to pay for his legal expenses. And until his sentence expires in 2029, he must adhere to several rules. He's not allowed to speak to the media, not allowed to consume any alcohol, required to undergo therapy to deal with his issues around domestic violence? Oscar's future remains uncertain, as does some of the other details in his case. Like, was he really suffering from anxiety and paranoia that comes along with wealth and fame? Or was this just the man Oscar really was? And unfortunately, that may be something only Reva will ever have the answer to. And that is the story of Reva Steenkamp. I think my opinion is he 100% did it on purpose, because he acted out of anger. I think for sure he had some mental health issues going on, but it doesn't mean he didn't do it. I think that even the story he told from the beginning was just sketchy. Even if he was suffering from anxiety, depression, PTSD, that could easily lead him into a fit of rage. Like, irritability and fits of rage are not that uncommon with anxiety and depression. So I think if he was just naturally prone to kind of violent tempers and then was paranoid and everything, like, I don't know. I also think it's weird that everyone said he was a super jealous person and she just happened to have coffee with an ex. And then, according to the autopsy, she was crouching on the floor. Why would she be crouching on the floor unless she dropped her phone? And there was no reason to be down on the floor. So let me know your thoughts on this case. What do you think really happened? Give us a thumbs up if you like our video. Hit that subscribe button down below. Hit the bell notification button to be notified of future videos. And if you want to support the channel, you can buy us coffee at buymeacoffee.com/TCNS. Of course, this episode was brought to you by NordVPN. Check out NordVPN today for 72% off and 3 free months when you sign up using the link in the description. As always, thank you so much for watching and listening. We'll see you next time.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&C supply in-app only. Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.